The resurgence of Marxism has attracted some unlikely converts, including the novelist Benjamin Kunkel. In the literary world, he's a celebrity, co-founder of the magazine N+1, author of a highly praised novel, and now he's added a new item to his resume, Marxist public intellectual. He's just published a collection of political essays called Utopia or Bust. Steve Paulson recently caught up with Benjamin Kunkel to talk about the new generation of Marxists and a surprising new bestseller.
Ben, certainly the book of the moment is the French economist Thomas Piketty's Capital in the 21st Century. And we should point out that Piketty himself is not a Marxist. But why do you think his book has struck such a nerve right now?
I think it has struck a nerve for two reasons. On the one hand, he's talking very intelligently and above all with a command of data that seems to me absolutely unrivaled about the development of economic inequality in our own time and across two centuries of industrial capitalism. And that part of the book is really magnificent. And this has obviously touched a nerve in part because this is one of the issues of the day. Obama himself has called it the great challenge of our time, something like that. Economic inequality. But of course, Marxists and others on the left have been discussing the same problem with a lot of intelligence and sophistication for a long time, but they do so from the position of being Marxist and therefore being not respectable. And the advantages that Piketty has had include not only his real intelligence and his research, but the fact that he comes from what they call a neoclassical economic background, that as a young prodigy, he taught at MIT. That is to say, he's somebody with the credentials to come out and say, well, if it looks like capitalism is not doing what we want it to do, that it is only someone like Piketty, who's not a Marxist, and who has the neoclassical credentials and the PhD in economics that we, in some sense, still need from somebody, most of us, if we're going to listen to someone who we feel has authority and hear him say that capitalism might not be going the way that we want it to.
Now, one of the things that Piketty is advocating is a global progressive wealth tax, which politically would seem to be an absolute non-starter. Is this even worth talking about?
I suppose, you know, being a utopian myself, I think political non-starters are often worth talking about so that we can think about what we actually can get done. There's a strange way in which Piketty's global wealth tax is, in its very realism and its modesty, totally utopian and unrealistic, because in order to accomplish something like this globally, you would need not just one country and not just two countries, but really every important country to say, we're going to apply to our most powerful citizens, we're going to apply this wealth tax and do it in coordination with every other country in the world and not be tempted by the idea of becoming some sort of tax haven. And frankly, it seems to me much more likely that you would have socialist revolution, whether accomplished by the ballot or by some other means, in a series of large countries. I'm not predicting that that's going to happen anytime soon, but it seems to me much more likely that you would have blocks of countries in the world change their mode of production.
Do you think we're starting to see more receptivity to, I don't know what we want to call them, Marxist ideas, socialist ideas around the world? I mean, is there a new generation that's emerging now that is open to this kind of radical critique of capitalism?
I do think that there's a generational element to it, partly because the younger a person is, the less likely he is or she is to associate Marxism with a command economy and with this atrocious totalitarian system, and the more likely they are to have grown up in a situation which is rough for many people economically right now, but in which youth unemployment in this country, but in other countries even more so, is really extreme. Clearly, that's not a capitalism that is working for people.
Well, and there was a Pew poll, I think, a couple of years ago of maybe it was people in the U.S. Polling those between the ages of 18 and 29, and something like half of them were sympathetic to socialism, which is kind of an astonishingly high number.
Yes. Yeah, of course, what we need to do is to figure out what we exactly mean by socialism, or at least the type of socialism that we want, and also probably get a clear idea of what we mean by capitalism. When I was growing up, I just figured that capitalism meant the market and that it sounded terrible to live in a socialist country because it meant that you couldn't have any great variety of products to buy, and even those that you might want would be in shortage. You'd have to stand in very long lines for them and so forth. And one of the interesting things about Piketty's book, and one of its flaws, I think, is that he continues to make this identification between markets as such and capitalism. And one of the things that it seems to me that we need to recognize is that markets have long predated capitalism, and that there's no reason for them not to survive in some form after capitalism. A number of goods are not supplied only through the market. Education, for example, and health. So I think what we need to do is to start talking a lot more about what it is that capitalism actually is and what it is that socialism might be.
So you're imagining some kind of a new way of thinking about a market economy, a Marxist model for a viable market economy?
Yes, I think that there's no necessary incompatibility between markets and socialism. And the great question, it seems to me, is exactly what we're willing to put a price on and what we're willing to put a minimum or maximum price on. You could certainly have a market economy in which there was a very high minimum wage or better than that, a universal guaranteed income, a universal basic income, and also a maximum income. You could have ratios of wealth that were only 10 to 1 or something like that, or even 3 to 1 if you like, and still have a market economy.
Now, I'm really curious about your own story here because, I mean, you're best known as a novelist and you're a co-founder of the literary and cultural journal N Plus One. And now you've written a collection of essays on mostly Marxist thinkers. And as you put it in your introduction, you seem to have become a Marxist public intellectual. What brought you to this political turn?
I've at moments regretted writing that line because it seems to me a bit of a joke to be a Marxist public intellectual because the public isn't very large, although thanks to you, perhaps it's getting a bit larger.
So why? Why are you now writing, you know, political essays in the Marxist tradition?
I don't know. You know, I wanted to be a writer since I was a kid, since I was a teenager, if not before. And I used to write poetry, and I thought maybe one day I will be a poet. Then I wrote a lot of fiction. But I'm just a writer, really, and then I try and write what I feel most like writing. And perhaps this ends up being too great a variety of things, in that I've written a fair amount of literary criticism. I've written these political essays. I'm trying to write a book that really amounts to a political treatise, which is something of an embarrassing thing to say since I don't know that we use the word treatise anymore, except ironically.
Do you see much connection between your political writing and your what I would call literary writing, you know, writing fiction or writing drama?
Both yes and no. The no may be more interesting and surprising than the yes. Writing very directly now about economics and politics has made me feel that there's less necessity of addressing those things in my fiction. And so the novel I'm working on right now has nothing to do with politics, or at least nothing explicitly to do with politics. And I guess I've told myself that here we are living in neoliberalism or late capitalism or fossil capitalism or whatever you want to call it. And anything that I or anyone else end up writing honestly about our moment will have some political bearing, but that I don't need to address politics directly.
But what you're saying is if you're going to write a novel, you're going to have to deal with questions of, let's say, social class in there. I mean, that's part of the territory of what a novelist does in this day and age.
Exactly, yeah. And in this sense, Jane Austen probably told us more about the capitalism of her day by not trying to tell us anything than she would have had she conceived of herself as a political novelist.
Benjamin Kunkel is the author of the novel Indecision and a collection of political essays called Utopia or Bust. He talked with Steve Paulson.